kids at home. And it's one of my favorites. I only know the first verse. I noticed today that there are several more verses to it, but we just sing one verse together, and our kids like it, and we sing it together. The song is called Let's Talk About Jesus. It has a pleasant tune, but more importantly, the words. Praise the Lord. The words to the first verse go like this. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. And that's the title of the message tonight. Let's talk about Jesus. As we pray, you know, on Sunday nights, the last few weeks, we've been looking at missions and reaching our world for Christ and praying for God to send forth laborers into the harvest. And we looked at John chapter 4, where Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And that ought to be our focus and our meat, our purpose in life. And as we desire for the Lord to use our witness to bring the lost to Him, this is how we ought to be living. To talk about Jesus. And we see this example in our text in Acts chapter 4. You can turn over there. Acts chapter 4. If you're familiar with the beginning of the book of Acts, you know that in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went to the temple to pray. And on their way there, they met a lame man. And the lame man was asking alms from them. And Peter said, I don't have that to give you, but I have something else to give you. And God's power healed that lame man, and he began walking and leaping and praising God. And everybody knew that lame man. Everybody knew that he was lame. He'd been lame. He was hopelessly lame. There's no way he's going to be healed. And then they saw him walking and leaping and praising God, and it drew a crowd. And the crowd wanted to find out how this happened, and Peter had a chance to preach to the crowd, and God did great things. And this crowd gathered, people believed on Christ, and that drew the attention of the chief priests and the Pharisees. And they didn't like it. And so they arrested Peter and John, and they're trying to silence them and trying to stop them. We're going to pick up at this point in Acts chapter 4, verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. This is what we ought to desire, folks. That we speak the word of God with boldness. Not so that lame man should be healed, so that souls would be saved, so that the power of God would be at work in our lives. But we see what they're saying here. Peter and John were called into account by these unbelieving religious leaders. And they said, don't speak anymore in the name of Christ. We can't do that. I'm sorry. We have to speak of Christ. So they threatened him and they let him go. And then Peter and John went to the brethren and they just praised the Lord and said, we already seen what happened. You know, Herod was against Christ, and you know where he is? He's dead. Pontius Pilate was against Christ and he failed. All these people, all these religious leaders, they even rage and people imagine vain things. And they tried to destroy the Lord. And God still accomplished his purpose. And now, this is still going on. Behold thy threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that we may be bold and speak the word of God. And that's what God still wants for us today. That we be bold. The world still doesn't like the message of Christ. But we need to be bold. I see some things here that the devil was trying to use to silence Peter and John. And the devil still tries to use these things to silence us, to silence you. And we shouldn't be silenced. First of all, I see examination. Verse 5, it says, it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes says who they are. Verse 7, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? That would have been an intimidating setting. All of these well-known people. Imagine if you were called to stand before all the religious leaders in the state of North Dakota or the state of Minnesota. You're standing in front of them, they're all seated there, and there's, you know, they're kind of giving you the stink eye a little bit. What name are you speaking in? That would be a little bit intimidating. They were examining them. Tell us who you're speaking of. Tell us in what name you're doing these things. But remember, God had done a miracle using Peter and John. In verse 4 of chapter 4, it says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000, plus women and maybe children. I don't know how many thousand there were, but at least, I would say 5,000 men, or 5,000 people, probably a lot more than that. This attracted the attention of the unbelievers. And no matter how you and I feel about being brought up before unbelievers and being examined, this is how it should be in our life. Our life and our service to God should attract the attention of the world. And if we can just fly under the radar as Christians all our life and no one ever notices us or doesn't notice anything of God doing in our lives, doing things in our lives, something's wrong. The world should notice. If God has done a miracle in you and made you a new creature, it should attract attention and examination. It's not because we're up on the housetops proclaiming, let me tell you all about how good I am. No, not like that. But it's a natural change. It's natural. You're naturally different. God made you a new creature. That ought to be evident. And if it doesn't show, is it really different? Is it really new? If no one notices that you've been saved and that God's changed you, if nobody notices, something's wrong. The devil wants to defeat us through this examination. The devil wants the attention of the world to be turned to us, and we just kind of shrivel and we become timid. We don't become bold. The devil wants to defeat us. But how did Peter respond? What did he do? Instead of being defeated, what did he do? He talked about Jesus. It says in verse 8, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a key phrase, and that ought to be true of us. But verse 10, he says, be it known unto you all, know this unto all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He didn't talk about himself or anyone else. He didn't even talk about the faith of the man who was healed. He talked about Christ. Verse 12, he just laid it out there. It was very plain and succinct. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Let's talk about Jesus. This is how we ought to live. When the world examines us, what's different about you? Well, you know, God's been good to me, and I've worked hard. I'm he's helped me be very disciplined in my life. And you know, when you're let's not get distracted with any of that. There might be discipline in our life, but ultimately it's because of Christ. Well, you know, I've been blessed. I was able to, you know, have some financial success here or do this. No, let's talk about Christ, because whether you have talent, whether you have discipline, whether you have abilities, whether you were given things and provided opportunities, it's all a gift from God. The Bible teaches us that. So let's just lay the credit and the glory where it ought to be. Let's talk about Christ. Do others examine your life? Do they ask you questions? And if you attribute your ultimate success to anything other than Christ, you're missing a great opportunity, and you're ultimately misleading them. Because Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I don't have anything in me that would bring success. There is nothing good in me, and there's nothing good in us. If there's anything good in our life, it's because of God. So let's just give him the credit. Let's talk about Christ. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but he also said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hey, you know, you really did a good job over there. Well, thank you. Yeah, I know. I work hard. No, the wrong answer. Praise the Lord. Any good that I have is from him. Well, you know, I've worked hard and I've just learned a lot and I've really applied myself. No, wrong answer. You might have worked hard, but the glory goes to God. Let's talk about him. Let's lift him up. When others examine your life, talk about Jesus. When you're under scrutiny from unbelievers, talk about Jesus. God will use that. Look at verse 13 again. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We know these guys. These guys didn't have any education. These guys are ignorant. They're backwards. They're just hillbillies from Galilee. Only the Lord can do this. These men have been with Jesus. But too often we like to show ourselves to be admirable in the flesh. It's natural. We have pride. Let's give the glory to the Lord. Let's talk about Christ. Let's talk about Jesus when we're under scrutiny and examination. But not just examination. The devil also uses prohibition to try to defeat us. Verse 15, when they commanded them to go aside, they conferred among themselves. What are we going to do about this? You know, this was a real miracle that was done. It's hard for us to criticize that. The people love it, so what are we going to do here? So what did they do? Let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Have you ever had anyone tell you that? You can't do that here. You're not allowed to talk about that here. Don't do that over here. Prohibition. The world hates Christ. The world doesn't want Christ to be talked about. They don't want you to preach the gospel. They don't want you to give the glory to the Lord. Why would people prohibit the teaching of men, of the men who were doing these miracles. These men, Peter and John, we know they didn't have the power in themselves, but they were accomplishing the same kinds of miracles that Jesus accomplished. People were being helped. People were being healed. People were being saved. Who in their right mind would say, stop that. Don't do that anymore. You know, I know you have this power in your life and everything, and it's doing miracles, but you need to stop. You're wrong. Who would do that? Well, unbelief doesn't make any sense, but sinners still have it. Christian, we ought to live in a way that makes unbelievers think or say, indeed, a notable miracle has been done, and we cannot deny it. God's power ought to be evident in their life. They may not admit that to you, but they will still know. We ought to live like we've been with Jesus. Unbelievers, and of course the devil, will seek to intimidate the saints to stop walking with Christ and to stop talking about Jesus. And I think that we all have a tendency that believes somehow, some way, someday, people are going to like what I'm doing. If I'm good enough, they'll be happy. I'll get their approval somehow. But the devil will never approve of you unless you follow him. The devil will never like how you live unless you live wickedly. If you're living for Christ, the world will never start liking that. They will still dislike it. They will still try to silence you. It will never go away. We should just expect this prohibition. And many people in the world, many nations, it is illegal to follow Christ. They understand that prohibition very, very clearly. The world is never going to be a friend of God. We should just expect that. What should we do in the face of intimidation? Well, look at verse 19. Stop speaking in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Very, very obvious answer to that, but we'll leave that in your court. You think about that. Verse 20. But this is our answer. This is our choice. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. There's no other option for us. We have to speak the things which we have seen and heard. We have to talk about Christ. We must talk about Jesus. And so what did they do? Well, they tried to use intimidation. Look at verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Maybe they said, we're watching you. We're watching every move you make, and if you do this again, we're going to come find you. That would be intimidating. And people in the world experience that even now. They just know. They just know that if they speak out, they're going to be persecuted. I get these mailings. Voice of the Martyrs is an organization that helps persecuted believers around the world. And they have all kinds of stories about people experiencing persecution all over the world. And it's troubling. It's scary if you think about it that way. It's also a blessing to hear about their faithfulness. And it makes me say, what am I worried about? What am I complaining about? Look at what they're going through. But they're faithful. They know. They know that somebody can knock on their door at any time with a gun, or set their house on fire, or take them off to jail, or whatever it is, and they're still faithful. And I imagine that was kind of what the threat here was, too. We're watching you. We know where you live, and we're going to be watching and listening. We're going to come find you. Don't do it again. And the devil will use all of the options at his disposal to try to convince you not to witness. Thankfully, we don't have laws against witnessing. It's not illegal to come to church. It's not illegal to be a Christian. But here are some of the things that the devil might use to try to intimidate us. Who do you think you are trying to witness? They're not going to want to listen. Don't even try. They won't want to listen. They're going to get upset at you. You better not even go there. Some of them won't like it if you talk about Christ. They're going to be upset. They're going to be angry. You're going to make a fool of yourself. You don't know enough to witness. You need more teaching on this, or you need to practice this more before you're ready to try this. Intimidation. Maybe next time. You know, not now, but maybe next time. Or the last time you tried this, it didn't go very well. All of these kinds of thoughts Have you ever experienced anything like this? You're thinking about witnessing, you're thinking about handing out a tract, thinking about going out on outreach, and and you can come up with all kinds of excuses. The flesh comes up with that. Maybe the devil helps us out. He'll use fear and confusion. He'll use pride and selfishness and all these other things to try to intimidate us into not speaking of Christ. And I'm thankful that Peter and John didn't fall prey to the world's intimidation. Again, they said in verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And because they were determined, because they were bold, there was great joy, and they had power from God. Again, in verse 31, it says, they were released, and they came back to the brethren, and they were talking and praising the Lord and praying to God. We need to be bold. Go, God, give us boldness. We want to keep speaking up. Help us to do this. And guess what? They got help. They got power. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Do you think they had anything to worry about? If God be for us, who can be against us? And so we can be intimidated, but if God's on our side, we don't have anything to worry about. We ought to be bold. We ought to speak of Christ. What should we say? Okay, I understand. Let's talk about Jesus. What does that mean? Well, Peter and John said something very specific. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And we can talk about being bold and not being intimidated and rah, rah, that might sound good, but okay, what do I say? How do I put this to practice? Well, talk about the things that you've seen and heard. What would Peter have been talking about? What would Peter have to talk about? What things did he see and hear? Well, he could have told somebody about being introduced to Christ. Back in John 1:40, it says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Peter could have talked about that. Let me tell you about the day I met the Lord. My brother Andrew, he brought me to Christ. And then I didn't know Jesus at all, and Jesus renamed me. Let me just tell you about this, the things that he had seen and heard. He could have told people about watching Christ feed the multitudes. In Matthew 14, we find 5,000 men, plus women and children, were fed. Jesus said, feed them. Well, we don't have any food. What do you have? We have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Bring them hither to me. And suddenly, thousands were being fed. Peter could have talked about that. Let me tell you about this Jesus. He is so powerful, he can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed thousands. That's something to talk about. Well, I don't really know. Has God done things in your life? Tell him about the things you've seen and heard. Peter could have told people about walking on the water to Jesus. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And I imagine Peter telling people, it was crazy. I don't know if you use that word. We use that word a lot. It was amazing. I got out of the ship and I started walking on the water. Well, how'd you do that? I don't know. It's the power of God. I can't do that. I've never done it since. But let me just tell you what it was like. God, help me do it. But you know what then happened? Then I lost my faith. Then I didn't trust in the Lord. I got my eyes off the Lord. I started looking at the waves, and I started to sink. I didn't do it perfectly. I failed. But you know what happened then? Christ reached down. He saved me. He pulled me out of the water. The things that he's seen and heard. What have you seen and heard? Talk about that. What has God done in your life? Yeah, even the failures. Tell them what he's done. Tell them how he saved you. He could have told people about that time he rebuked Christ in Matthew 16. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. I can't believe I did that. The Lord was telling us about these things that were going to happen, and I told him he was wrong. I told him it wouldn't happen, that he was mistaken. And you know what he said then? He called me Satan. I was wrong. This is what I've seen and heard. The Lord was speaking, and I said, "You're wrong," and I refused it, and I was wrong. The Lord rebuked me. He could have told people about seeing Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17, verse 1, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." Oh, I have seen Jesus in his glory. Let me tell you about it. We were up on the mountaintop together, and we fell asleep, and we woke up, and there was Jesus transfigured. There was Elijah. There was Moses. They were talking together. Oh, we saw it with our own eyes. Let me tell you about this Christ. These are just the things I've seen and heard. I don't know a lot, but I know what I've seen. I know what I've heard. Let me just tell you what I've seen and heard. He could have told about being the topic or the subject of Christ's prayer. Luke 22:31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." He could have said, "You know what, I have seen him. He loves me so much, he's praying for me." He knew the battle that I would be in. He knew the target that I had become in the devil's crosshairs. And he prayed for me. That's the Savior that I serve. Let me just tell you what I've seen and heard. The Lord said he's praying for me. And he'll pray for you too. He could have told about being warned by Christ. The very next verse, verse 33, he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." I was warned by the Lord. And I didn't listen. I didn't believe it. And he was right. People need to hear these kinds of things. We don't like to share these embarrassing details about ourselves. We don't like to say, "Yeah, you know, I failed to trust the Lord. I failed to follow him. I said no. I resisted him." We don't like sharing those kinds of things. But they're powerful. That's why testimony tracts up on the rack are so powerful. Because people can open those tracts and they can read how Paul Sikorsky or Randy Richards fought the Lord and didn't know the Lord. They were in sin and God reached down and gave them grace and opened their eyes to sin and drew them to himself, and they finally accepted and were saved. They can read about how Ethan Custer was proud and resisted the Lord and finally gave in and was saved. They can read about these things because we need God's grace just as much as those people out there did do. We needed it and before we were saved, just as much as the lost still do. It's good for us to tell about the things that we have seen and heard. He could have told about how he failed to pray with Christ in the garden. Jesus told Peter and James and John, he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." We were there in the garden, and he asked us to watch and pray with him. And we fell asleep in that night of his greatest struggle. This is what we saw. And he woke us up, and he said, "What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray." And we fell asleep again. He could have told about how he denied Christ, but the Lord still loved him. In Luke 22:59, we read about the third time that Peter denied Christ. It says, "In about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter ran out and wept bitterly. These are the things that he saw and heard. He saw the Lord on trial, and he knew that he'd failed, and the Lord still loved him. What kind of Savior is he? Well, let me tell you. He's the kind that I've denied 3 times, and he still loves me. Doesn't matter what you've done, he loves you too. Let me tell you what I've seen and heard. He could have told about seeing the empty tomb. Luke 24:12, "Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." I didn't know what to think that day. I was amazed. I was excited, but I didn't really know what it meant. There was an empty tomb where there used to be a body. This is the Savior. This is the Christ that we follow. He's not dead. He's alive. He could have told about being restored by Christ. Mark 16:6, the angel speaking to the women says, "And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way." Listen to this. "But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you to Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." Why does he single Peter out that way? Well, we don't know for sure, but I kind of think that Peter was really discouraged. I denied him, and now he's dead. When we lose a loved one, we think about that last moment we had with them. And whether or not we took advantage of it, whether or not we told that person we loved them, and all Peter did was say he didn't even know Christ. How must his conscience have smitten him? The last chance I had before he died, and all I could do is say I didn't even know. But the Lord wanted his disciples and Peter to know that he was alive and to go in before them to Galilee. John chapter 21, verse 15, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep. There's something else for you to do. I'm not done with you, Peter." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." "Peter, I know exactly what you did. I told you that you were going to, and you didn't believe me. But you know what? I'm not done with you. Do you love me 3 times, just as many times as you denied me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Get busy. I still love you. I've still got a purpose for you. Get busy. I'm not done with you." What did Peter know? He was just a poor fisherman without much education. But he had been with Jesus. He knew plenty. And he was willing to even share it. Let me tell you about this Savior. He's one that didn't give up on me. I deserved it. I denied him. I tried to get as far away from him as I could, but he didn't give up on me. He still wants to use me. And Peter put this to practice. We're going to Acts chapter 3. Verse 1. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Please help me. Can I have some money? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. Pay attention here. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Let's talk about Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Peter wasn't rich, but you know what? He had plenty to give. He just talked about the Lord. That's all he did. I'm here in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about it. I don't have these things that you're asking for, but let me tell you what I do have. And God, I understand this is a miracle. I'm not saying that God's going to use us to heal lame men. But Jesus, Peter put the focus right on Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's just get right to the important part. I don't have what you're looking for, but I have something better. I don't have what you're looking for, but I can tell you about the one who has everything you need. Let's talk about Jesus. I don't know everything, and there's a lot in here that I don't understand, but let me tell you what I do understand. Let me tell you what God's done in my life. I know that. I understand that. I can tell you all about that. I've seen and heard that. I've experienced that. I've had a front row seat to that. Everything that God has done for me, he can do for you. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about my failures. Let me tell you about my victories. Let me tell you about the grace that I've received. Let me tell you about the doing things that I could never do alone. Christ did it for me, and he can do it for you. What things have you seen and heard? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know enough. Yes, there's always more to learn. And we ought to be continually spending more time with Christ in Bible reading and prayer. We ought to always be growing and learning. But if you've been saved and made a new creature in Christ, you know enough. So do you speak about it? Do you tell others? You don't have to know any more than that to start talking about it. Simply talk about Jesus. Talk about what he's done for you. Talk about the victory he's given you. About the forgiveness he's given you. Talk about the power he's given you. And the grace and the comfort he's given you. If you're saved, others need what you have. So tell them about it. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be as good as what that person would do or as eloquent as how that person can say it. Just tell them what you know. Talk about it. There's a hymn called Do You Know My Jesus? And the chorus echoes in my mind. It often comes to my mind. The words are powerful to me. The words go like this. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you? And that he will abide until the end? Do you know that much? Can you tell others that much? It doesn't have to be a lot. If you know the Lord, you know enough. Don't wait until you have enough experience, or until you know enough, or until you are eloquent enough. People are living and dying in hell. The Lord will return any minute. We must talk about Jesus. must tell others about our Savior. We must speak about the things which we have seen and heard. That's what God wants us to do. Let's talk about Jesus.